would like to say today on behalf of the family, thank every one of you for coming.
Wow.
The support from you friends and loved ones, this community is obvious today by just having standing room only here today. I know this family appreciates the flowers and the kind deeds and things that you have done for them. And they're going to need your continual support in the days to come. We're here not because we choose to be, but we're here today because our faith tells us that in these moments we are to look to God. In these times that we certainly don't understand. But we're here to reflect on and remember the life of a little 18-month-old baby. 18 months of joy and life that you just observed here a moment ago. Russell Douglas McLeod was a member of the Athens United Pentecostal Church and went to Tiny Treasures Daycare. He loved playing with his big sister and his cousins. And he passed away Saturday, February the 2nd, 2013 in Athens. Russell, or as I've heard many of the family members refer to him as Little Man, is survived by his mother, Kimberly McLeod of Athens, and his father, Jason McLeod of Malakoff. His sister, Lauren Marie McLeod of Athens, maternal grandparents, Doug and Christina Latimer of Quitman, Louisiana, paternal grandparents, Michael and Sandra McLeod of Malakoff, maternal grandfather, John Weiss of Fort Worth, maternal great-grandmother, Violet Seward of Gun Barrel City, Texas, and he survived by numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. The world may never notice if a flower doesn't bloom, or even pause to wonder if the petals fall too soon. But every life that ever forms or ever comes to be touches the world in some small way for all eternity. The little one that we love so much was swiftly here and gone. But the love that was then planted is a light that still shines on. And though our arms are empty, our hearts know what to do. Every beating of our heart says that, Russell, we love you. I don't think there is anything that we could ever be called upon to endure than that of the death of a child. This is not supposed to be. This is not the way things are supposed to happen. And the reason that we have that kind of sentiment is because it seems that all the potential for the future now seems empty, seems wasted. All of the hopes, all the dreams, and all the plans for this little man have been brought to a sudden end. And what was once a warm home filled with the comforting sounds of life has now become only a house filled with silence. And our hearts are empty. And our hearts are crying out to God. Why does things like this have to happen? Why, little Russell? I've come to know that when we grieve, we can really see the flaws in our own hearts when we're going through that process. And sometimes in that moment of grieving, we have a tendency to view things through a fog of dismay and despair. And even today in our sorrow for this tremendous loss, we sometimes fail to recognize, and I don't want you to take me wrong today, but sometimes in the midst of our sorrow, there are times and there are calls for joy instead of sorrow. And if we would just stop for a moment and consider today what God has spared Russell from and what He has spared us from. God has spared us the worry of how Russell will grow up. We no longer have to worry about childhood diseases and sicknesses. We no longer have to worry about him trying to navigate his way through this ever-degrading world. We don't ever have to worry about anybody mistreating him with the harshness that we've come to know in our world today. We no longer have to worry about how Russell will survive the temptations that leads lies into places of addiction and despair. We no longer have to worry about Russell being a success or a failure, because today Russell is a success. He's in the presence of God. And I thought yesterday, I'll be turning a half a century this September, and I'm still trying to accomplish the will of God in my life. But this little man, he was able to do it in 2 years. And I love this picture that is out here in front of his casket. He's got his little hand kind of extended. And it's as if he's saying, well, what do you think? Russell, you're a success. Little man, you finished your course. And I love the words of Jesus when he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. This family today, you need to take comfort in those statements that Jesus made, because now for Russell, there can never be any falling away from God. Russell is in the presence of God. David, whenever he was confronted with the death of his boy, he made a statement of resolve. And I shared with somebody yesterday morning before leaving and coming here. I said, you know, it was really, when you look at the life of King David, it was at this point that he started turning his life around and became the man after God's own heart. When his son died and they came in unto him, David made the statement that now he is dead. Why should I continue doing what I've been doing? He had been laying up on the ground. He had been fasting. He asked the question, can I bring him back again? But this is what he said with resolve. David said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He determined from that moment forth, I can't bring my son back, but I can resolve within myself, and I can do those things that will take me to him. We have that same hope. We're going to see Russell again very soon. I believe that. But right now, we need to turn our eyes upon ourselves and make sure that we do all we must do in order to be there with him. We need to turn to God for comfort in this unbearable time. But even more significantly, we need to continue as God would have us to live according to his word, so that we can be found with him in that day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Lord, we implore you today that that peace that passeth all understanding would be ours to claim. We have certainly felt your close proximity the past few days. And Lord, we need it more than ever before today. When all else fails, Lord, you are still God. And we lift this family today before you. We lift up those everywhere who are mourning with us today. To those who doubt, we pray, Lord, give them light. And to those, Lord, who are weak, give them strength. And to those who have sinned, I pray, God, extend your wonderful mercy to them. And to those, Lord, who are sorrowful, let them feel your peace today. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. And help us, Lord, in all our ways to trust in you. And Lord, today, as you first gave Russell to us, and I can remember standing at the altar with this family as we dedicated him to you, today, Lord, we're truly giving him back to you. You have taken what is yours, and that is his soul, his spirit. And we have what remains. And to you, Lord, we lift our hearts before you. And we pray, Lord, for our salvation. Russell is well. All is well with him. But we're the ones that need your continual help. And you will supply that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're not only here this morning at the homegoing of a precious little friend, but to celebrate the life, the joy, the pleasure that he brought to each and every one of us. One of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Russell was such a good little man. One who in his short time with us captured the hearts and affections of so many. Full of trust, his life shows us the way we should love and trust. Unconditionally, unreservedly. Life is so full of twists and turns, high and low points, rolling hills, long and winding roads. But through it all, there is one constant, steadfast, never changing friend, and his name is Jesus. And the life of this little man, Russell, is trying to point you and me today to this same Jesus. Our preconceived ideas will only leave us stranded in the middle of nowhere on this road called life. Won't you turn all your pain, your heartache, and your misgivings, turn your confusion over to Russell's friend today. The only Alaska church loves you, Kimberly. Didn't have a chance to meet his daddy, but I feel your pain. And I've never lost a little one, but I can't imagine. I have four grandsons and one fixing to be here. As I told Brother Latimer the other day, I can't imagine what you're going through. And our hearts and our prayers are with the family today. We pray God's blessings and God's peace and his in none die ever dying love would be with you and strengthen and comfort you in the days ahead. God bless you.
Little ones to him. This I know, for the Bible tells
There is a lot of variety in this auditorium today. We're young and we're old, come from all kinds of backgrounds. There's one thing that drew all of us here today. that is this very precious 1.5-year-old little boy. Out of our schedules and our plans, all of that was put on hold because of Russell Douglas McLeod, and we wanted to come here one more time and just let him know how much we loved him. The void that we feel today at his sudden departure is a mute testimony of the strong influence and the powerful impact that he made on our lives in such a very short time. These last 5 days, he's never been very far from our thoughts. Sometimes we're moved to tears for such a little fella. He sure packs the wallop straight to the heart. When I think of Russell, you know, we don't love him because of what he did. We don't love him because of his great accomplishments. We just love him because of who he is. We love him because of his sweetness. He was untouched by bitterness or guile. There was no cunning, no manipulation. We just love him because he was a sweet, sweet little boy. We love him because he was inquisitive. In these pictures and videos, you could see his face was full of wonder. Everything you saw, he hadn't lost that. Thank God life will never beat that out of him like it has some of us. But everything was still exciting, fresh, new. As a pastor, I especially loved Russell because of his worshipfulness. Music would start, his hands would go up. He'd start clapping. He loved church. He loved worship. Sister Kim told me the other day, he come in and he had his finger up, and she said, "One." He said, "One." And then she said, "One God." He said, "One God." Amen. I believe he would have made a great preacher. Matter of fact, he did. His sermon was short, but it sure impacted us and left us with so many things from which we can learn. One more thing about Russell that stands out to me was he was happy. I mean, what greater success in life is there than be happy? He smiled a lot. He laughed a lot, easily. Didn't take much. And he laughed beautifully. Now my mind's going 1,000 ways, trying to decide what to say here today. And as I got up here, I think I'm going to change directions. Let me take your attention to the 22nd Psalm for just a few moments. I'll not hold you long. The beloved Psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's in your brochure. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. But Psalm 22, the preceding psalm, is striking, very different.
I've heard people all of my life, I suppose, say that we should never question God. Well, I guess my response is you can't help it. I can't help it if why comes in my mind. I don't mean any disrespect, but there are things I don't understand. Little Lauren stopped by the office yesterday, and in the space of perhaps 20 minutes, she probably asked how many questions? I mean, full of them. Why? Well, and then you'd answer, and she'd say, but why? And then you'd answer, but why? I think God understands that we have questions today. I think God knows that we have a big question mark here today. And, you know, he actually asked a question himself. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, I can understand that. And perhaps you felt a little bit like that in the last few days. I'm not saying that we should tarry there. We shouldn't. But I don't think we can help avoid questions about why. I don't know that we'll ever have answers. I think the greatest answer that God can give us in this time is the answer that Joseph talked about when he stood before Pharaoh. Egypt was on the edge of a great famine. And as he stood there in the presence of going strictly from a prison cell to the presence of Pharaoh, there he stood, and when Pharaoh explained things to him, Joseph said, the Lord will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Of all the answers that you'll get in your life, the best answer you'll ever get is an answer of peace. Now, that's not an explanation. We don't need an explanation. Not really. It usually doesn't satisfy us anyway. What we need today is just an answer of peace. But as Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, and if God understands anything, he knows what it's like to give up a son. You understand it. I know that Jesus was 33 years old, but if you're a parent, you also know that it doesn't matter how old your kids get, they're still your kids. And as he hung on that cross, I've always wondered why he said what he said. And then I read somewhere, and it took me to the 22nd Psalm. You know what I think Jesus was doing on the cross that day? I think he was singing. Because Psalm 22 is a song. And I believe he was singing. On the darkest day of his human life, in the last few moments of his existence, I believe that he lifted up his weak and his cracked voice and he began to sing in the face of suffering and violence and hatred and bitterness. Everything that life could hurl at him, he just began to sing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. So I would say today to this family, Russell's physical journey was very short, but you made it worthy for him. Russell knew what some people never got to know much of in life. Russell knows what it's like to be loved unconditionally. Russell knew what it was like not really to be in want. I mean, he never wanted for very long. He looked at you with those big old eyes. How could you not help? And you did. You were there for him, and you made his life the very best that you possibly could. Now, I know that if you allow it, regrets will begin to come, and they'll knock on your door, and you'll say, if only this or if only that. You got to stop right there. Because every time you answer to regret, you close the door to all that wealth of precious memories that he left you with. So I encourage you today, close the door to regret. It won't do you any good. Just close that door. And just open the door of memory and let all of the riches of his 1.5 years flood you. And they'll comfort you, and they'll strengthen you, and they'll help you, and they'll make you laugh and maybe cry a little bit, but it'll be a blessing from this day forth. Somebody else is very interested in what we're doing here today. You can't see his face, but we can sure feel his presence. And we have watched the orchestration of his hand and everything that's going on. About 2 weeks ago, right here, I preached a sermon on a Sunday night. I just preached a sermon. Didn't really know what that involved. Didn't know until Saturday. But the sermon that I preached on 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, the Lord had already given to Brother Latimer. Same title, same verse, exact same message. That's rare. That's unusual. And a few days later, he had a dream. And in that dream, there was a storm. They found themselves in a foreign place. Storm came, closed all avenues of exit. The airport went, couldn't get out, bought a boat, thought, well, I don't know how to navigate this thing. And the Lord said, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. There's a storm coming. 2 weeks ago, there's a big storm coming, and you're just going to have to trust me. Well, that's true, isn't it? We can't navigate our way out of this. We have to face it. But he said, you're not going to face it alone. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what he said. And I found it to be true. He's always there. He's always there. Sister Kimberly was trying to explain to Lauren what's going on a little bit. And she told her, Russell is in heaven with Jesus. Then, I guess it was yesterday, they were traveling toward the funeral home, and she told Lauren, "We're going to see Russell." So when they pulled into the parking lot, Lauren asked a very interesting question. She said, "Mom, is this heaven? Because that's where Russell is." "Well, no, it's not heaven. But Russell is there with the Lord. This friend that knows him best and loved him most, he's with him. And we don't have to worry about Russell. He's in the very best place that he can possibly be. And his journey's not over by any means. He just graduated quicker than we have. You know, I've noticed some people get things faster than others. I had a friend, went to Bible college for 2 years. I had to go 4 years. And I said, you must be a lot smarter than me. You got through in 2 years. It took me four. It took him a year and a half to get to graduation. And for whatever reason, the Lord said, you did everything you needed to do here. I need you to finish up here. Now, you know what we do as parents, and it's true. As a parent, Brother Jason, as a parent, Sister Kimberly, you know a lot more than your children do, right? You do. And a lot of times they don't understand things, but you do. You see things they can't see. You know things they don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you about your Heavenly Father today. You don't understand what's going on here, but He knows things you don't know. And He sees things you don't see. And just like you, your children have to trust you and because you know what's best and you love them like nobody else, we have to do the same thing with our Father today. Because He knows what we don't know. He said it so well through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "For my ways are above your ways, as the heavens are above the earth, and my thoughts above your thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth." We're all of us, no matter how far we are in life, we're still in kindergarten when it comes to understanding certain things. So we just have to do with our Father like He asked us to do, or we ask our children to do, and that is, we just have to trust Him. But you can. You can. He's never failed, and He never will. Could we pray together today? Father, we're your children. And you said that we could come boldly to the throne of grace, and that we would find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. And if ever we had a need, we have one now. If ever we needed mercy, we need it today. If ever we needed grace, we need it now. So Jesus, I ask you, please come into this service today and do what you do best. Impart your peace to every person. As we leave this place today, and we have done our best to try to, in a few words, memorialize this beautiful, beautiful boy that you allowed us to have for a little while. And we're going to carry him in our hearts and our memories, but we'll never be able to hold him in our arms again. But he's in your hands and your arms today, and that's a good place. But you understand the void that we feel and the emptiness that's here. And I feel your peace in this house, and your presence surely is here. And I want each one today to grasp this and cling to it and take it home and take it into tomorrow and all the days that are ahead. And that the peace of God that passes all understanding and the God of peace would rest upon us and give us help and grace and strength in the days ahead. You love each one of these people. You love all this family. And I pray that you bless them today and help them and strengthen them and be their guard and their guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.